Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
I'm George Affleck.
And we are literally going hyper local to provincial to federal to global today on a very holiday vibe.
Unspun.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Perhaps the last, unless something happens, this is our last show for the new year, right? I think.
We said that last week.
I know,
there's always something, man.
I gotta do my Christmas shopping at some point.
Mine's done. I know. It'll shock you. I'm finished. Nice. Nothing's decorated, though. This is my Christmas decor. George.
Yes.
I'm experiencing some PTSD today. You're going to need to help me navigate this Unspun podcast.
What's up? Yeah.
Well, Atmospheric River. Mm-hmm. You remember back in 2021? I know you do. Because not only did I experience the fires during that crazy summer in the heat dome, but that on November 11th on the long weekend when we're driving back from the interior, Brian and I were at the front end of the wave that was the Atmospheric River that closed everything. We were diverted five times, and you know, the people, our friends that left 45 minutes after us got home 6 days later. Like,
wow. Yeah,
crazy. Yeah, they got stuck between landslides and stuff. We did not, but I will never forget seeing boulders in the middle of the road, like on my way driving diverted, can't go Coquihalla at Merritt. You got to go down and go Hope Princeton. And on my way between 97C and Princeton, that, you know, single lane either way and very curvy road, massive boulders on the road. Like, so we're seeing that again over the last 24 hours. And, you know, the forecasts were saying Atmospheric River. I'm like, but I don't
that
think
washed, that was the one that
it.
Washed out the Coquihalla, right? That was the one that
every
washed
highway,
yeah.
Coquihalla, Highway 3, Highway 1, all of it. By the time we got to Agassiz, we were using our Siri, Google Maps, whatever, our navigation system in the car. And it literally said, I know you think there are other ways to go, but this is the only route. And we had to do the Agassiz bypass and go around because Highway 1 had been closed because it was, you know, neck high in water. And again, yesterday we saw it, like, obviously not to the magnitude, but close.
Washington State, I think, had it worse for some reason. They were having floods like we were seeing a few years ago. Yeah,
it's still going on.
I mean, and that, there was a bunch of other circumstances last time that was related to other stuff, if I recall. I forget what
it stalled for days. It stalled for days last time. So it was like 80 millimeters, 100 millimeters, 120 millimeters, and then 150 millimeters, which, I mean, when, like a king tide, I mean, I'm becoming an armchair meteorologist, thank God for my Mark Madriga's, Christy Gordon's, and Russ LeCate's. I love Russ LeCate, yeah. Like the king tide that we see, where it was like, oh, look, it's a king tide. And for years, we had never seen a king tide, and we do now. And the king tide isn't a phenomenon that happens occasionally and then will go away. It's going to be the new normal. It will eventually be high tide, like not in the next year, not in the next maybe even 5 years. Who knows? Global warming. But these atmospheric rivers, like, they're dropping the equivalent of an Amazon river on us, right? And I don't think people take it seriously enough. I certainly didn't feel like the warnings were loud enough last night.
Yeah, I didn't
but
even know
again,
it was happening. I saw it was raining. I thought, oh, what's going on up there? It's raining. It's banging against my window. Oh, and then I sort of found out, oh, it's one of those. We used to call them bad storms, but this, you know, now it's an atmospheric river. Sky river, I call it.
Because it's that much more precipitation, excuse me, precipitation, locked in the jet stream. And I mean, it was all the way back to Guam, all the way to the BC coast. Like, anyway, I just think preparedness is lacking.
Preparedness? Get a boat.
Or really telling people, like, don't drive, like preemptively close things.
Yeah.
Be like,
I don't know why people want to drive in shitty weather. I mean, if it snows, if it's pouring with rain, I'm like, why bother? Walking? I get, you know, I mean, maybe that's why, because you and I live in the city.
Maybe.
And we could just walk out the door and go get our groceries. You know, we don't need to get in our cars for anything. And so, you know, I
Yeah,
think if you
there's
live in the
that.
middle of nowhere and you gotta get out, you can't
Yeah.
do so.
We're elitist entitled schnooks. I get that. But people are also like, but I've got ski plans at Sun Peaks. I'm like, no.
I find that it's funny though, at least because I look at my friends who live in the valley and they have giant houses, and I raised three kids in 900 square feet down in Yaletown.
Yeah.
So who, I don't know, am I the
I know.
elitist or am I the one who's dumb? I don't know. Did I screw something up?
But
Because
the people in the Fraser Valley that you're talking about do have to get in their car to drive to everything, like you said. So,
yeah.
but I, 'cause I parked my car yesterday as soon as I, 'cause I do, I've lingering trauma from experiencing that atmospheric river and
Yeah,
really
I bet.
looking back and
You had a
thinking
rough year.
how close.
That was a rough,
Yeah.
that was a rough year for a lot of reasons for you.
Yeah.
That was,
Yeah.
but anyways, I don't know what we're gonna do. And I think there's less and less reporting happening, less and less reporters, less and less potentially traffic reporters happening. What I understand, there's not gonna be any more helicopters for global TV anymore as of this
Oh,
week.
really?
Heard that, yeah. So, you know, say goodbye to that. Which I never really understood traffic reporting on television anyways, because if I'm in my car, I'm not watching television. So who is this for?
Oh, well, you get prepared for it. I mean,
Okay.
I do. After 5 years on breakfast television, I understand that a lot of people, and even to this day, when Brian's getting up to leave, again, you don't have the long commute to work, but when Brian's getting up to leave and he's got to go and do fill in the
Right.
blank restaurant, I can't be like, what are the roads like to Langley? Or, you know,
Yeah.
what's my best route to Burnaby or excuse
Yeah,
me.
yeah.
So people do, that's why, you know, it's traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the one. So you can tune in. Okay, let's talk BC politics. What every week now we've sort of touched on the chaos that is happening in the BC Conservative Party and John Rustad and being ousted or stepping down finally, and what the turmoil. The tumult. And last week you said, well, maybe Brad West. And I'm like, Brad West would never. And now we see the mayor of Port Coquitlam chiming in on the couch and land rights thing and doing appearances and very vocal on social media. And your answer to my pointing that out was
It sounds like he's making a play a little bit on
little bit.
provincial issue. I mean, obviously cities are affected, but you know,
For sure.
and he's taking a lead on a lot of provincial and federal issues related to
Yeah.
crime and gambling and
Foreign
foreign
influence. Yeah.
influence and blah blah blah. So who knows? But you know, I think if you know, it's an opportunity for him to potentially be the next premier, and those windows of opportunity don't come very often in politics. So he has to look at that seriously. But I
Right.
think right now, because nobody's really announced, there's a lot of rumors. But right now, I think they're just
Give me
trying to
some
get
rumors.
that. Well, they're just trying to get their caucus in line. They have to. They can't go out there into the public again in the next session, or even announce a leadership campaign until they figured out, okay, what are we, and what do we, you know, what about all you dissidents that we have in the parties?
Right.
And maybe the ones who left, can we bring them back? Do we want to bring them back? You know, Ellen Osterko, that kind of stuff. So if
Do you
these are
think she makes a play for it? Like she is the, you know, one of the forward-facing most known names and does have, you know, a history of law enforcement and but there are so many people in the caucus who are completely anti-LGBTQ2 plus and Eleanor is a married gay woman. So
well, therefore she should. Just
right, but
put them in their place.
does what happens then? Like does that caucus get in line behind her because they realize that they're such a fragment, a small, teeny tiny portion that's incredibly unpopular with the majority. I shouldn't say that, but like the majority of the lower mainland, like the most populous areas, because of course we've talked about how the further out of the large cities you get, the tolerance for various groups is reduced, right? Like it's
I think if you look back at the Gordon Campbell days, who managed to bring people together, but I also think he took a hard line with those guys and said, okay, and he knew, and he kind of rode the center, which, as we know, the mushy middle, which is how you know, even though, and he was actually mushy middle, he wasn't super right wing. He became, I think,
right.
more right of center as he got older.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he brought in the, you know, the whole, well, he brought in a whole bunch of environmental stuff and started the treaty process again, and successfully. But
Yeah.
so I think you go, if you're a leader that's has a solid support in the Lower Mainland, which he did, and he was very tight. Gordon Campbell spent a lot of time with UBCM, the Union of BC Municipalities, and hanging out with
Yeah.
mayors across. So he had a lot of great mayors that liked him, and then he put them in seats, potential, MLA seats, or running for MLA, and they were very successful. And he would
Right.
find the ones that were like, okay, you fit my criteria. So he spent some time doing that. But I think at the end of the day, you have to say, look, we can't win this without the Lower Mainland. And so as much as we want to keep those seats in the north, and we don't have another party start up in the north, or in certain ridings where there is a appetite for more right wing or more anti this or anti that kind of candidates. At the end of the day, if you can take more seats in the city of Vancouver away from the NDP and more seats from everywhere across the region where NDP are, then you win. I mean, it's a simple, and you're not going to win those seats if you have a super right wing
Extremists,
leader or attitude. And in the end, that's why they didn't win the majority last time or the election, because they
right.
lost some key seats that they could have won. Yale Town, a couple of Surrey, other ones they could have won. Langara, other ones they could have won these seats, and they didn't, because they had candidates that were not considered
Or
center
even
left.
remotely moderate, like they weren't, there's some like tinfoil. From the anti-vax to the denialism and the racism around First Nations and the intolerance of any lifestyle that doesn't align with the Christian values or whatever we're calling the far right. Like there was so much of it. Like there wasn't even just a handful. It was like a lot. But then it's how big is that base? And with what we're seeing across well, across North America, really, is that base shrinking now? Because it is creating such ugliness. And we'll get to.
Well, I think the NDP have been in power since 2017, so there's enough
Yeah.
left-wing votes out there. So what I would argue, or center left, and I think John Horgan was a centrist. Eby
He
is
was.
not. He's definitely further left. So I would say that, and they kind of started doing that. But if I was a BC Conservative leader, I would say we've got to target NDP as being super left-wing, that they are Antifa level. They are radical left-wing people who have taken our province on a route that is completely unsustainable financially, environmentally, everything. They are failing on every. They can't build a bridge. They can't build anything without tripling the budget, creating havoc in the communities. I mean, the Surrey Bridge is a disaster already. It hasn't been opened.
Okay,
There's
so
no bridge to
let me just say
Delta, and
that.
then there's no, and then the SkyTrain is over budget. It's like by 3 times. It's crazy. And it's like, well, who's in charge?
But from the centrist view, when looking at the alternative in the BC Conservatives, is the intolerance and the risks that come with anti-science that affects in a different way. It's like the centrist goes, ooh, politics bloated. That's not new. Ooh, politics, like anti-science and into things that aren't actually even remotely factual. Like neither is good,
No,
but
it's not
these
good, but
two, when weighed one between one another, the one that's bloated and over the top environmental, I don't think the Canadians are going to lean into the Antifa thing the way it's being used in the US. Like I just don't think so. I don't think the moderates are going to be like, yeah, Antifa is a terrorist group, which we just saw. The US, like the FBI director wasn't there, but one of his minions was there in front of Congress. And they're like, where is Antifa's headquarters? And he was like, like people who are engaged in politics and really taking the time to do the deep dive on what the issues are not going to be like, yeah, Antifa's the problem. Like
No,
it's
I mean, I'm
that's
just
just
sort of
not going to
throwing that out
work.
there, and I'll
Yeah.
get into
Yeah.
and there is radical left and radical right, so that does
Totally.
exist. But I would
That I
say that
get,
if all I'm
but it's
saying
the
is like in
firebrand
BC,
words. Yeah.
but I would say in BC, to win in politics, you don't want to be talking about yourself necessarily. You want
No.
people to be talking about your opposite, the people that you're fighting, and you
That's
want to
right.
control. You want the message to be they're the problem. You got to vote them out. That's how you win elections. It's
So,
not about selling what you have. It's saying
totally.
what you're doing is wrong, and that's the only thing the conservatives should be talking about. They don't have to do anything. They're not in power. They have no power, so they don't have to do anything. All they have to
Right.
do, and which is what I did for 7 years in office, is tell you how horrible this other party is, because they are and they were, And here's why, A, B, C, D. And just keep saying that. And eventually people go, yeah, they are terrible.
Right. And also you come to the table with some kind of, maybe not a specific plan, which you did in council. You would actually come in with plans, but or you would just press the, the button that says this is too expensive. Because I think that's where, I think across North America, federally here in Canada, and certainly provincially, well, even municipally, we'll get into that next. But it's about money. If the Conservative Party of British Columbia went, we are the best alternative because we will cut spending and we'll do it here, 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 and here, and make these not extremist things. Like, we're not going to fire every scientist and, dismantle healthcare and take away women's rights and whatever. Like, not those things, but actually give some, like, we will not hire,
They don't have to. They don't say anything
this
about their
many more
party.
people.
They got to stop talking about themselves and even the
Right. They are talking about
policies
themselves.
and even the people that are in there. Who cares? It has nothing to do with winning. And I know that
Right.
they have that problem, and they can't seem to get their shit together as a party behind the scenes. So that's a problem. But if they understood, all of them, even the dumb ones and the ones that are whatever, that in order, if
The
you
dumb
want to,
ones.
do you want to be in power or not? That's the question. Whoever's the leader or whoever is there, ask each one of these idiots. That is saying whatever, crazy, crazy stuff. Saying, look, you got to stop being crazy or we're never getting in power. Do you want to be in power? Do you want to be controlling government? Yes. Okay.
Stop
Calm
talking.
down and let's get in line in order to win. And then we could talk about your ideas. But right now, you're hurting us and you need to get your shit together and join the team because we're not going to win because we're not the problem. We're not supposed to be the problem. They're the problem. So let's focus on them. Okay, dude. And then that person might go, oh, no, they do it. Then you say, then you're out. Get out of my party. If
Then
you're
you're
not
gone.
willing to play the game to win and follow the line that
Get in line.
the two messages that you
That's
need to
right.
focus on, then you are not part of the team and you are off the team. And bye-bye, I will find another MLA that will be stronger than you in your riding, and I will win because I will show leadership and we will win this campaign based on that. And nobody's going to sit there going, in whatever riding, oh, who's Joe? They're going to go, who's the leader of this party? He seems good. I'm going to vote for that guy, even though I have to vote for this guy. That's how it works. You don't win, sorry, candidates in each riding. It's not, you're not the winner. It's the guy at the top that leads the charge and gets the win. So that's the only message that needs to talk to these guys. And somebody's got to have the balls in the BC Conservatives to yank those guys out if they're not willing to toe the party line. Literally, it's a cliche, toe the party line. It's exactly what it means. Like, how
So
hard
who
is
can do
this?
that, do you think? Like who?
No, nobody that I've seen so far. I mean, they don't seem to have any strong leadership so far. We'll
Within,
see. Trevor
right? But
Steiner,
Trevor can't
but
though. Trevor can't though, because he's
he's
the
interim.
interim leader.
Yeah.
So once you're
But
the interim leader, you can't. Trevor Halford, for those just tuning in.
So I don't know. I don't know. You never know until they come, until they rise up, right? So,
But they have to have a seat, right?
No, I don't think so.
They
No,
don't.
not no.
So you can come in from the outside. You could like, and then you run for a vacant, or somebody steps out, and then you have the by-election, then you
Correct.
get that riding.
Which would probably be
Because we saw
well.
that work in reverse with Christy Clark, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, well, she inspired people to vote for the party, but her riding has definitely swung far to the left. Champagne Socialists of Point Grey Road. Your neighborhood, close
Excuse
to your
me.
neighborhood, close to your
Grab
neighborhood.
me my champagne,
Where's my
please.
gray poupon?
Hold on. But we are all in the city of Vancouver, you and I. Never a dull moment. I'm exhausted by this. I
Anyways, it'll
mean,
be
every
months,
time.
if not a year, before we know who the new leader is, I'd say.
Really?
I can't imagine they may have somebody in place by the spring session, but I doubt it. That's a pretty short timeline. They're out of money. They only raised, I think, $150,000 in the last quarter or something. So that's peanuts in a potential election could come anytime, Cam, situation. But that was the main testament to the reason that they had changed leaders because the money people were saying, we're not giving you any money until you change your leader. And that's, if you don't have money, you can't win. So So it's going to be some time before I think Trevor's doing, maybe he's having those conversations with each one of these people talking about that. I assume he's having some form of that, because if he's not running for leader, then he has no risk and he can play that game, and then they can he can work with the board or whoever to make these, and the main caucus or him, a main team that he will consolidate about the leadership, process.
Yeah.
And then they'll either start seeing people getting booted out of the party and maybe people brought back in. And the intention would be that there'll be an election in, shouldn't be within 2 years.
Do you stick with the brand? Do
Oh
you
yeah.
stick with the, yeah?
Polling
Okay.
is so showing, even in Vancouver, the Vancouver Conservatives are polling number one. That's why when you earlier you said about left wing stuff, people are really angry to, Trump has obviously built a whole world on this, but people are mad on this whole land issue that you brought up, that Brad West is talking about. This is a
Crowd and land
huge
rights, yeah,
problem, and
enrichment,
the
yeah.
UNDRIP, all this stuff is causing a real problem. And this ridiculous no pipeline to the north. Like, come on, like, seriously, are we not a country that it's a great we're the greatest country almost in the world? Like, come on, is it the voted number one in almost many on many different levels, and including just economically, we're up there in the world. In order to keep doing that, we need to get our resources out of here. And if you were not willing to build a pipeline, an easy pipeline to the coast, come on.
So we have a
Put
lot
in
of coast.
trains.
So why is the port for this pipeline proposed in some of the most dangerous waters off of our coast?
Well,
That's the thing that
depth.
I look at when I'm looking. Right.
Depth of water.
Right. Other than where else? There must be somewhere else.
Well, the ships go through those places all the time that are full of oil from Alaska.
On
So
the other side of Haida Gwaii, right? It's the interior bit that everybody's fighting about. I did some, because I don't know enough about it, to be honest with you, like to debate it. But in listening to the both sides, I see 100%, I see reasons why we need to get our resources to market, because that's the only way we can stand alone against the threat of the US, not to mention the fact that we could be among the wealthiest countries in the world, given the resources that we do have here in this beautiful country. And yes, ethically, extracting them is important to a lot of us. I'm one of them. I don't love the oil sands and fracking and the things that clear cutting. And I think there's ways of doing it, but people are making money on the faster ways of doing it. I think therein lies the debate to be had. But moving these to market, moving the resources to market, should be a priority for all Canadians. It's a head scratcher to me that there's only one way to go. There's only one way. It's like, well, really? Is there only one way?
And why are people okay with all these giant trains with oil on them? I don't get it. You're fine with these
We
giant
talked
trains
about
with
that.
oils going
No.
through your small town? It's crazy.
No. No.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
But
anyways.
that's why we were all sold on oil going straight south. So we sell the bitumen down there and they refine it and they send it back to us and we pay for it instead. It's wild.
People talk about the oil and gas being discounted to Americans. It's not a discount. It's just we don't have enough. We don't have enough customers. There are only customers. So we, in order to get more customers for our oil to put our price up, it's not we that discount. We have no other customers. If you're the only customer, you can say, I'm not going to pay that.
Right.
Okay, we'll get okay. How about this much? But if we have start exporting more to the east and to Europe, then we can raise our prices. And I know that means, oh my God, private or corporations are going to make more money. But it, sorry, that's how the economy works.
That's how it
And
works.
that's what we need to do. And it's not just oil and gas, it's everything, and getting it out of our, and also doing stuff in our country. And we have all these resources. We have the potential to be a nuclear, powerhouse, literally up on the Great Plains, the Canadian Shield, super, sustainable, like as far as no earthquakes. It's a great place to put, energy. We're not pursuing any of this. And I think our prime minister is trying, and that's certainly the opposition is in favor of it. Even though they're playing games right now in the House, they both know that this is what we
So
need to do.
exhausting.
Yeah,
The
well.
playing games bit is so exhausting. You know what? We don't even have, we got like 3.5 minutes to
What?
discuss the one. I know it's flown by. It's flown by.
We
Remember
thought we
when
had
we
nothing to
said we
talk
weren't
about.
even we weren't going
Yeah.
to do this? We don't have anything. The new US tourist rules that are going to come in the new year for many countries. What's it? ESTA? I keep getting it wrong. ESTA, I think. is what it stand. What does it stand
Yeah,
for?
if you're a tourist coming, it already exists. But if you
Yeah,
travel to the
if you're
States,
coming
right?
in from Australia or Japan or the
England.
UK or what have you, like you have to do, you have to apply for
Simple
this
form though, it's not hard.
visa,
Takes
right? It's
5 minutes.
just a visitor's visa. Yeah. Well, now it's like you have to submit 5 years of your social media, phone numbers, email addresses for the last 10 years for yourself, IP addresses for yourself, family members, names, address, phone numbers, dates of birth, and place of birth for your family members. I don't even know that I could do that. And then your face, your eye and fingerprint and DNA. That seems like a lot.
It's not going to help tourism, and there's all this thing that, well, Canadians have to do this as well. I think you have to assume that that's coming, and that the border crossing guards are going to be even tougher, and they're going to be looking, certainly your social, and this podcast alone could potentially stop both of us from traveling to the States because of it,
Right.
not let us across because of things we've talked about.
And that's the
We
thing, though.
can't
They
get rid
won't
of
let
it.
us across. It's not that they're going to take you and throw you into an ICE facility. It's just like, no.
I wouldn't put it past them, Jody. I wouldn't say that that's not a possibility for anybody.
There's so
Maybe
many
not for you
rumors
and
around
me.
that.
Maybe
Yeah,
not for
well,
you and me as Caucasians.
champagne drinking elitist.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I think if I was a minority, if I was an ethnic minority,
Yeah, oh, for
and
sure.
I haven't traveled the States. I'm not going to the States. Sorry, I can't be bothered. I got way better
Yeah.
places in the world to travel to. I don't need that kind of stress. See ya.
That's right. You get to go far. You get to go to the Galapagos.
Yeah, that's where my friend is right now. He just got back there.
Really?
He's there literally right now. He just got back to Peru after being there. Sounds like quite a journey. It took
Nice.
him 20 hours to get from across it. It's quite a journey. I don't like
It
animals that
is.
much.
It's incredibly remote, which is why it's so pristine because not a lot of people can make that journey.
Right.
But I've got friends who are going to Chile. I have got friends who are
Yeah.
going to Spain. I have friends that are going to the UK and Scotland. And I've got friends right now who are like last minute, spur of the moment, Germany. That would have been, all of those people would have been US dollars for sure. They would have been US tourist dollars without question if what was happening in the US was.
And we both saw that U.S. senator speaking, like, please, please,
Oh, the
please.
Washington State Senator,
We're
she
down 30%.
was,
We're down
yeah, she's like,
30%.
your tariffs are crushing
30%,
my state.
30% of the staff on, or they laid off 30% of the employees for that ferry that goes from Port
Seattle to
Angeles
Victoria.
to,
Yeah, Port Angeles to
to
Victoria.
Victoria.
Yeah.
30% of the staff layoffs. I mean, okay, good
Yeah.
job. Like, what are you doing?
It's
What?
wild.
It's just nonsense.
And it just, every time we think it can't go next level, it does. It does. And we will stay on top of it here on Unspun. This was a very last minute holiday edition. So we hope you enjoyed it. Follow along on our social media. You can find that guy on your social media at George underscore Affleck. Mark today down is the day that George dropped an F-bomb on the program, getting us our E. And you whispered it. At Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, on my social media. And yeah, the US government might need to look at both of our social medias if we ever want to travel to the US again. We'll keep you posted on any news.
I think yours might be worse than mine.
You think so?
Yes.
Why?
I think I'd not be
Make
as, you know.
people look at
Yeah. Every
I
viewer
see what I
counts.
think. All right, we'll see you later.
A
Happy
great Christmas. If I
holidays.
don't see you again, happy holidays.
Yeah. Happy holidays. We'll probably talk to you before then, but we're going for holiday drinks. I think.